Hello and welcome to KnitWorks, a series of talks powered by Rural Knit Youth Network, covering the challenges of rural knits, young people not in employment, education or training, living in the countryside. Rural Knit Youth Network is a European-led multidisciplinary network with the goal of understanding how rural knit social inclusion can be supported. To learn more about our project, please visit rnyobservatory.eu-web. According to the Eurostat, in 2020, across the European Union 27 member states, the proportion of knits was higher in rural regions when compared with the same rate in cities. More importantly, a substantial uneven knit distribution by the degree of urbanization was evident in many eastern countries such as Bulgaria or Romania, or southern countries such as Greece. In these countries, gaps between cities and rural areas range from 10 to more than 20 percentual points. The research community is reacting slowly to this trend. A recent bibliometric review confirms that, from 324 papers focusing on knits published on the Web of Science between 2002 and 2021, only 16 focused on rural knits. In 2021, the Rural Knit Youth Network published a special issue on the Youth and Society Journal that includes this bibliometric review. How are specialities being included in the understanding of rural knits situation? What are the main differences among knits across countries and territories? And can research better inform policies for different types of territories? These and more questions are going to be discussed in this episode of KnitWorks.
Welcome to KnitWorks, the podcast series of the Rural Knit Youth Network. I'm Francisco Simões and I'm the chair of this network. Today we welcome Paul Flynn. He is a researcher in education and a lecturer in teacher education at the National University of Ireland in Galway. And Emre Erdogan, a teacher in international relations and the head of department of the Istanbul Bilgi University in Turkey. They are both members of the Rural Knit Youth Network. And recently they have co-edited a special issue for the Youth and Society Journal entitled Challenges Associated with European Rural Knits, Youth Inclusion. So welcome to you both. I would start with you, Paul, and thank you for coming. You both come from countries in the West and the East extremes of Europe. Looking at Ireland, what are the main challenges faced by rural knits and vulnerable rural young people in Ireland?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I think over the decades, knits in both rural and urban settings have faced significant challenges relating specifically to access to educational opportunities. However, some major intervention programs have been instigated in order to address this issue in Ireland. And as education has always been seen in Ireland as the underpinning factor for societal development. And to a large extent, this set in train a very high percentage of students who remain in education and make a successful transition to the labour market. However, that success story is not without its downside. In truth, the COVID-19 pandemic has placed a spotlight on the provisions of strategies to support a significant minority of young people in Ireland who do not make this transition, with significant criticism coming from those who work in this area at the grassroots. To give one example, very briefly, our state examination system for young people has two exit points, one which results for the most part in a transition into higher education or the labour market, and the other at 15 or 16 years of age into the labour market directly, or more often than not into needs status. Between 2020 and 2022, these vulnerable young 15-year-olds did not go through the formal exit process as the state recognised assessments were cancelled. And so not only are these young people disadvantaged in the sense that they did not exit the labour market as their predecessors might have, perhaps without the same skills, they are exiting into what has become a highly skilled, highly qualified knowledge economy. And so I suppose, in short, the challenge now as a post-COVID for youth needs, particularly rural youth needs, is in crossing an increasing divide between their educational exit point, in particular at 15, 16 years of age, and what industry expects and demands. And unfortunately, this gap is continuing to grow.
So, Emre, are the challenges faced by rural, by needs in general and rural needs in specific in Turkey the same. Paul focused mostly on this gap between education and labor market. What is happening there in Turkey with NEETs?
In Turkey, the most important problem of NEETs, they are invisible. Mm-hmm. Because of many cultural reasons, we are accepting female youngsters as home carers. Yeah, there is a specific name we are using for them: house girls, housewives. Yeah, perhaps you know Turkey has the highest ratio of NEETs mm-hmm. among the OECD countries and has the lowest female labor force participation ratio. Yeah, because of this cultural problem, people see very natural this situation. Young women, they are not working. They are leaving education at earlier ages and they are waiting for marriage. On the other hand, they are helping their mothers in house work, and indeed they are providing some kind of value added which is not observable in national accounts. In the rural parts, the picture is somewhat different because majority of Turkish farms, they are household organizations. Mm-hmm. They are providing household income, and of course, the head of household, father, has the control over the income of this household. And many young women, they are working in the family business and they are unpaid. And that's why, for example, from a statistical perspective, ratio of needs is lower in the rural areas, if we can calculate, because yes, they are working, but they don't have access to money, and indeed, they don't earn any money. And for young men, the picture is not different. They are working in the household enterprises. They are providing some labor force, but they are not paid. Because of the patriarchal culture of the country, fathers, they are giving a small of pocket money and they don't have access to money. This is the most important problem of Turkish youngsters. They are observed as unmature individuals. And as a result of this patriarchal culture, they are under the protection of their fathers or other elderly.
So it's interesting how you both showed very different pictures that are not only related to the different geographical situation of your countries. They also reflect different social trends. And actually, the work you've done co-editing our special issue to the Youth and Society Journal clearly tried to underpin the disparities across the continent regarding the situation of NEETs. So, Paul, if you could come in, can you describe a bit the focus of this journal issue?
Sure, yeah. And I guess that, as you've summarized, you know, it's this difference, geographic social differences that we see in each location. And this encouraged, you know, Emre and I to discuss at length the focus of the publication. And what we wanted to try and achieve were three main things, I guess. Firstly, we aim to establish rural NEETs as a specific invisible subgroup of NEETs. And this is important, as NEETs prior to this cost action were more often than not seen as one homogenous grouping. And consequently, any responses to the challenges that they face were rarely as nuanced as they needed to be. Secondly, we wanted to enhance our understanding of European rural youth and the challenges associated with their socioeconomic inclusion. We felt that this story could be told by encouraging submissions that exemplified empowerment, education, and employment pathways specific to this demographic. And then finally, we wanted to deliver a scientific output, which would become pivotal for and stimulate new research agendas on this topic in the years ahead. And I think that's driven by these geographic and social trend differences that you very well summarized and that we've talked about in the early part of this cast.
Well, something that also popped up from this special issue is that maybe we could start to identify some emerging research trends. So, Emre, you actually co-edited or co-authored a paper on these trends. Could you talk a bit about what are the most specific features of these emerging research trends around NEET, and especially around rural NEET?
Yeah, we conducted a kind of bibliometric analysis about more than 300 articles indexed in Web of Science, and we observed some common trends. First, rural NEETs, they were invisible. Yeah. Before 2020, it was less than 50 articles published about this topic. And of course, yeah, we know that with the contribution of our action, it increased a lot.
Yeah.
This is something important because our knowledge production is effective from this perspective. But there are some problems. Papers, articles, they are located at the global north, and only China and Mexico were included to these studies. This is important. And still, economic and psychological perspectives are dominant themes, and they are focusing, many of these papers, they are focusing on the societal consequences, mm-hmm. not on individual consequences. That's why I believe that the research will shift to individual consequences, but in order to develop policies, we need to convince policymakers at national and international level, and that's why we need to show the cost of being a need for the society. But this cost is not only something economic. We cannot make some simple calculation saying that if these children would work, blah, blah, blah. No, we will show that being need has long-term consequences, such as poverty, such as exclusion. And it has important consequences on the well-being of these youngsters. All these intangible costs we need to consider. But how can we calculate this intangible cost? The problem here, we need to use a multi-method approach. Mm-hmm. Instead of only focusing on surveys or some large-scale surveys coordinated by the European Union or other international organizations, we need to also focus on small micro-level research projects, which integrates both qualitative and quantitative approach to understand the effect or the cost of being need or not.
Yes, I think that's clearly something that stems from the papers that probably institutions are overlooking this individual level of impacts generated by the need status. So, and you kind of connected to the next question, Emre, which has to do with how to make sure that this knowledge that is being shared by our action can be transformed in relevant policymaking measures. So, Paul, back to you. If you could issue a couple of policymaking measures that you think that this special issue does show as important measures to be taken, what would you highlight?
I think there's no doubt that the Youth Guarantee Program is a significant factor in addressing the school-to-work transition challenges experienced by NEETs. However, within the special issue, as Claudia Petrescu and her colleague, her co-authors pointed out, policy and practice are not always in sync. And as Emre has alluded to, I think we need a greater focus on bottom-up approaches to support rural NEETs that recognize the peculiarities or the sensitivities of each country and the regional differences that ultimately shape the identities of rural NEETs. And so for me, there is a clear need for a targeted and sustained body of work to be carried out that establishes a field of research dedicated to advancing our knowledge regarding specifically rural NEETs. Developing this would serve to inform policy and action on policy at all levels, at the macro level, the meso level, and the micro level, at the grassroots level, and establish a more perhaps responsive and reflexive approach to supporting rural NEETs as they attempt to access the labour market and take the next steps on their life journey.
Emre, would you add anything here to what Paul just
said? Yeah, what Paul said is very important, developing bottom-up approach, because this issue showed that there is a huge variation across the continent in terms of the characteristics or profile of needs, and in terms of characteristics of countries, and in terms of policies developed by actors and their implication. That's why we need to use a kind of multi-level approach to develop more effective policies, because we know that the initiative of the EU, a transnational or supranational organization, is very important. Without the support or without the help of the EU, it is not possible to use effective policies. They are providing money, in that they are providing funds. But in order to develop effective policies, we need to incorporate local actors. And we saw that some projects there, they included academics or chambers of commerce. But yeah, the most important problem here, many of them, they excluded youngsters. Yeah. Voices of young people is something missed in this project development. That's why we need to develop a kind of multi-level approach to develop effective policies. And of course, we need to measure the outcomes of these policies by using a multi-level approach, a transnational approach, a national approach, and at micro level to observe the consequences or the outcomes of these projects.
Yeah, so clearly, the level of the territories, and of course the multiple levels of intervention from individuals to communities and nations is really important, as you point out. So based on that, and just to wrap up, coming back to you, Emre, what do you see or what do you expect will be the emerging research trends on rural needs in the upcoming years? Can you point out two or three examples or ideas or topics that are emerging there?
Yeah, the first of all, such as large-scale surveys, such as European Union Labour Force survey or surveys conducted by national statistics institutes, they are very valuable. They help us to conduct a very qualified and detailed analysis, because of course needs ratios, they are high, but in order to conduct a good analysis, you need a kind of large N they are providing. But on the other hand, in our issue, we observed that there were some small research projects which were focusing on the outcomes of some projects conducted at local level, such as there was a project conducted in Estonia. It was a small project relatively, but authors, they analyzed the outcomes of this project by conducting a multi-method approach.
Yes.
In-depth interviews, surveys, etc., etc. It may be a good example. Or some authors, they compared experiences of three different countries. And that's why we need both of them. First, focusing on the outcomes of micro-level interventions. And second, to conduct a kind of comparative analysis to show differences within and between countries. And of course, we need large-scale data collection efforts to have a better insight about the problem.
Paul, what would you add here in terms of the research trends that are emerging?
Very briefly, and perhaps a little unsurprisingly, I think a greater focus on education, more explicit focus on education, and specifically the relationship between formal and non-formal training with rural needs. And I think as an extension of that, and I think it needs to be considered as part of the educational journey for rural needs, is accreditation. and how that non-formal training can be accredited in a formal setting that is recognized by industry. And I think this is directly linked to the idea of sustainability, because as Europe moves towards a more sustainable, greener future, those already in rural needs status are likely to experience significant challenges in making that transition with the rest of the European citizenship. So I do think we need a greater focus and a body of work to be carried out at that, but you know, taking that bottom-up approach that focuses on education and that how to accredit that with this demographic.
Well, thank you for your contribution to our podcast, and I hope you can keep contributing to our action as you did until now. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So this ends this edition of Neetworks. Don't forget to subscribe our podcast using your favorite platform and be sure to join us for the next episode. See you soon. This podcast is based upon work from Cost Action Rural Neet Youth Network, supported by COST, European Cooperation in Science and Technology. COST is a funding agency for research and innovation networks. Our actions help connect research initiatives across Europe and enable scientists to grow their ideas by sharing them with their peers. This boosts their research, career, and innovation. Visit www.cost.eu.